The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Want the real story behind the sound bites and headlines? Let's find the facts. Remember, it's not a conspiracy theory if it's the truth. You are not paranoid or confused. You just need to know.
And welcome, everybody. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. The day after Christmas when we are sitting down to come to you with Need to Know. Kip Kiefer still out in Las Vegas, where the Christmas season has been bountiful and joyous. A great collection of family and friends. And, of course, with a little one in the mix for the first time for us in a long, long time. Grandson number one for me, who's now 2 years and 4 months, not completely sold or familiar with the concept, but he really got into it the more as things developed. And as far as the opening presents aspect, already a bona fide expert. He has really been the center of all of the attention, and as it should be. And it's been a great, joyous season. I hope everyone else who's listening today has had similar experiences. I apologize. My voice is still a little bit off. If you listened to last week's show, I was kind of struggling with just getting over a little bit of a flu. And this week, with so much going on and schedules being different, being away from home, and rest being in the deprived category, I will piece together best I can the show today as we bring you everything you need to know. I wish the joyous note that we just kicked off could continue, but the subject matter, I think, is important to talk about because there's lots of goings on. You would think that this period of peace and tranquility and celebration of the birth of our Savior Jesus and all of the symbolic and traditional things that have the major influence on our holiday season should be the emphasis. But of course, it's also the perfect time for some elements of our American life to kind of show their ugliest face. And I'm talking about the activities in Washington, D.C., which largely go undetected by design in these circumstances. Because if you missed it, it's my duty here on Need to Know, because this is something you need to know, that our government, right before the holiday, with the weather closing in and their chances to get out of Washington diminishing, threw together a spending spree of absurd proportions so they could get out of Washington and quietly pass all of their little pork projects, all of their funding of international governments and initiatives, and just setting up all types of pork, which, if you're not familiar with that political term, it is taking items that are personally promised by all these representatives to constituents and donors and people that put money into their campaigns, and, you know, making those things happen in these such situations. It's called an omnibus spending bill. And Thursday in the Senate, it passed 68-29 in a Senate that, until next week, it was 50-50, but that means 18 Republicans, just so they could get out of town and spread money around to their different donors and people that they've promised different projects to. They passed that bill by that huge a margin. You might remember here a few weeks, it's longer than actually a few weeks ago, it was months ago, that I told you that one of the dirty little secrets of Washington, D.C. is there are 535 members of Congress, 435 in the House of Representatives, and 100 senators, 535. And by designation, you can look at that group, and it's pretty close to split down the middle. between, quote, Republicans, unquote, and Democrats. But in reality, people that are in government, working in Washington, fighting day after day to keep those seats because they are so personally lucrative and are so emboldened with tons of power, that in actuality, the real number of, there are so many more Democrats than Republicans. There are tons and tons of Republicans posing as Republicans who are actually Democrats. And there are none, I mean, zero Democrats doing the same who are really Republicans. The numbers are overwhelming. If you're involved in big government, if you're involved in the federal government, you basically are a Democrat by trade. Washington, D.C. in recent elections has voted close to 90% of people that actually live in D.C. On the Democrat side. And that has spread the Washington growth industry, boom industry, I guess you could call it, has spread into Northern Virginia. And basically the top one third of the state of Virginia is heavily now controlled by people that work for government or work around government, lobbyists and lawyers and bureaucrats. There are just millions and millions in the Washington, Northern Virginia area. And it is 100% blue because that is the party of big government. I think I told you in previous shows, my late grandmother, Julie Chambers, worked for 41 years at the Department of Commerce. She started in the late 1930s when women didn't even have jobs. She was like one of the forerunners of the career woman in a time where that was very unusual. But she was a lifelong member and donor of to the Democrat Party. Despite the fact that from a philosophical standpoint, if in late in her life, in her years of retirement, she was retired actually longer than the time that she worked in government. And all those years of getting all those benefits from big government pensions and different programs and all of her medical care and all everything taken care of, she was a lifelong, just absolutely adamant Democrat, despite the party going in a completely different direction to everything that she would tell you that she believed in, but she was oblivious to really what the party was doing specifically. It didn't matter. She worked under that system for all those years and was retired under that system for all those years. So she absolutely enthusiastically supported every Democrat candidate through donations and campaign funding, despite the fact that she had no interest or idea policy-wise what the move to the left had entailed. If she had paid any attention to that at all, which was completely foreign to how she was built, she would have been appalled. But that wasn't the deal. If you're in big government, if you're in the federal government, you are Democrat by trade, because that is the party that supports major big government. And man, did we have it on steroids this week. After the Senate passed this ridiculous omnibus spending bill, they throw that term around like everybody's supposed to understand what that means. Basically, they go completely against what government is supposed to do. At the end of the fiscal year, which is the end of September, they are supposed to have appropriations and a bill and 12 separate bills passed for funding the government for the next year. That's supposed to be a done deal by the end of the fiscal year, which is in September. But what happens nowadays is everybody hems and haws around and doesn't agree on anything. But that's kind of by design, because as the clock runs out on the calendar year and everybody is ready to get out of town and go enjoy their holiday season, they throw together what's called the omnibus spending bill. And basically what that is a giant hodgepodge of every different appropriation to fund every different part of the government, from defense spending to welfare and Medicaid programs and all of the different areas that have to be funded. but that also opens the door for every single person basically to propose amendments and put in pet projects, once again, pork, that goes to their states and their constituents and their donors, people that put in millions of dollars in the course of a year to basically keep these people's seats. So this is the payback. This is the opportunity come through for the people that have supported them with just tons of money to give to those folks that have supported them. It's the I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine in the complete most vivid example. And so over $100 billion goes to what's called discretionary spending. Now, let's think for just a second how much $1.7 trillion is. I'm going to try to describe this in terms that you can picture and really fully grasp. If you have $1 million in cash stacked up on your kitchen floor, we'll put it on the counter. We don't want to put it on the floor. We have that stacked up on our counter. We got $1 million. If I have 1,000 sets of $1 million stacks, I've got $1 billion. And that's pretty astounding if you just kind of picture that. Now, let's increase those stacks. Instead of $1 million stacks of bills, I've got $1 billion stacks, and I have 1,000 of those. That is $1 trillion. Think about that. 1,000 stacks of $1 billion each on your, and that would have to entail a lot higher than your kitchen counter, probably. You might have to set up a major area in your, in a whole room in your house. But the bottom line is that is astounding to even conceive that that much money is just routinely spent and divvied out in its various forms. And that's what exactly has happened. And the real sad part of that is while $800 billion goes to our national defense, which thank God they still fund that to keep us secure and hopefully keep the military efficient and everything that goes into that kind of spending. There is so much, quote, discretionary spending that it just gets spread around to all of these different pet projects, all of these ridiculous, the amount of money is absurd. There's things like the Michelle Obama hiking trail, which is going to be about a $4 million expenditure in the state of Georgia. Not, I am certainly not anti-hiking trails, but you know, things like that. All of these people have promised all of this money to people in their states and their constituents and their donors, and this is the payback. But the way the government operates with this omnibus spending, which is just one giant orgy of spending, and they do it in the course of 48 hours, which is just ridiculous. It's supposed to have debate in subcommittees and full debates on the floor. This is just rushed through with no thought or care for how reckless it is. And, you know, if you haven't noticed, we are in a pretty serious inflationary period where costs of everything have gone up and will continue to go up. And now to pour in close to $2 trillion in spending of money that we don't have, it's only going to exacerbate that problem so much more. It's also going to cause the Federal Reserve to kick in now and actually have to raise interest rates even more. So borrowing becomes discouraged by the public because all the borrowing possible, the debt is run to the point by the government themselves, where John Q. Public really doesn't have access to any kind of reasonable opportunity to, you know, get a loan to buy a house or do other things like along those lines, because inflation is so high that the interest rate to compensate for that massive amount of spending and debt is raised up. And, you know, right now I've got both my sons are looking at buying houses right at the moment but it's almost rendered impractical because the cost is so exorbitant compared to what it was just a couple of years ago. So again, 'twas the night before Christmas, and all through the House. Now, remember, the Senate had already passed the bill. So now it went on Friday, and the weather was getting terrible in Washington. It was snowing. It was down in the single digits. These people were frantic to get out of town. So with no debate and absolutely a fast bullet train, they ran this bill through. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the House, there was a flash fire of spending that no one would douse. It just became this orgy of throwing things into this package, and included in it is $45 billion more to Ukraine for their defense and humanitarian projects and everything in this endless war with Russia that, you know, it's a whole nother show to talk about some of the things that are odd about the whole Ukrainian-Russian conflict. But the fact of the matter is we're putting so much more money, $45 billion, into this Ukraine situation. And, you know, they are the neighbors of all these NATO countries who are not doing anything close to that level of support for Ukraine in their struggle against Russian aggression, as it's just been in a stalemate situation for a long time. And you start to wonder, just like all of the spending in this country, whose pocket is that going into? How much of that is actually appropriated to what's the intended purpose? And that's what you got to ask yourself about every bit of this government spending. It is just absolutely totally out of control and absurd. So it's sad to kind of put a damper on holiday spirits. But Washington was not idle while you enjoyed your Christmas celebration with your families. Our financial situation just got much worse. And that's pretty sobering to think about when you get down to the fact that it's pretty darn bad right now. But hopefully, the other aspect of this, there will be a Republican-controlled House of Representatives. The people did vote in the midterm elections to take away this one-party government. Remember, I told you a few weeks ago, that's really the biggest danger, because the Democrats never waver. You never see Democrats jump ship and go the other way to do things like this. They're all 100% on board, despite the fact that there are some, of course, more middle-of-the-road conservative Democrats to go with the progressive, just what you have to call radical left, who want to overhaul everything. But they stay united and they vote as a block. And you don't see that on the other side. Republicans, you know, again, a lot of them are just posers. They are pro-government first because that's what's best for them and their careers and their lucrative status is to, in these situations, just go ahead and jump into the frenzy with all of the others and make that happen to keep their cottage industry, as I keep mentioning, the best growth industry there is, alive and thriving in Washington, D.C. So a lot of money going to be thrown around, and your costs for everyday items for your families, God forbid if you want to buy a house or a car or make a major expenditure, it's going to cost you big time because, as I've explained, in an inflation situation, the last thing you want government doing is spending like drunken sailors, because that introduction of all this extra money into our economy that we really don't have, this is money that we're borrowing from the future. So it's basically just printing up money that's just going to add to the current problems in terms of our shortfalls in value of our dollar right now. And it just devalues the currency that's already in place. And that's just common sense. If you put a bunch more currency into a weak currency market, all that's going to do is diminish the value of the dollars we have. So that's why prices go up, because the dollar is worth less in these situations. Had to come through with the food for thought, because I think in the dark of night and the last seconds of the terms, this is the swan song, of course, for people like Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger and a lot of these pseudo Republicans that are really big government Democrats. They have been voted out by their constituents, so this is their last chance to really pay back the people that have kept them there, and distribute money all around in just head spinning fashion to every number of projects and crazy things, like studies worth millions of dollars to look to preserve certain species or varieties of species of certain animals and their native, you know, habitats. These are the kind of bills that, you know, somebody can't come along and do something on their own property because it might be detrimental to some kind of species that they're spending millions of dollars to study. If you go and Google the pork items for this $1.7 trillion spending bill, you will find all kinds of projects that you just say, you have to be kidding me. But that's exactly how it works. And I've ranted and raved long enough about what took place, but I thought it was important, and you need to know what your government was doing while you were opening presents and enjoying your holidays. Things were in a frenzy, an orgy of spending in Washington, D.C., to the tune of close to $2 trillion. And again, just think about absorbing that figure and how much that really is. It's absolutely staggering. Meanwhile, on our southern border, we have these coming suspension of Title 42, which was an exemption in COVID times to turn people back at the border who obviously had some kind of illnesses or things that they were dealing with. It was just kind of another methodology to try to check this unlimited migration into our country. But as soon as Title 42 disappears, the estimates are we're going to have anywhere from 14 to 18,000 people a day. Now that, okay, go to a sporting event in a big arena and look around. That's how many people are walking across our border and being shipped all around to all corners of our country. And again, this is not a policy that is happening because it's out of control. This is intentional. These people are being invited here, a lot of times funded by various organizations, several headed up by George Soros, who wants complete overhaul of America, wants to bring in all of these people from all over the world who will be subservient and dependent on big government, because all of this spending and all of this money that goes into so many pockets on the inside, not just the elected leaders, but the bureaucracy of millions of federal workers. The bigger government is, the more money it's driving and passing out to people that are desperate to have it. That creates the loyalty from those people. Their dream is to get amnesty for all of these people as quickly as possible, give them full citizenship rights. And it's really hideous what's happening in terms of, and again, I don't begrudge anyone for seeking a better life for their family. That's the basis of immigration. But this, folks, is not immigration. This is importation of people from all corners of the globe with the promise that you come here and we're going to get you set up in housing and get your kids educated and take care of your costs and your needs. And it's unsustainable. This might be a great tool for Democrats to make sure that they can hold on to their power and control by creating a whole slew of new Americans because they know that even the most Americans that are leaning toward what they really would love to accomplish at the end of the day are finally going to draw the line somewhere, because we are, in our DNA is individual freedom and individual liberty desire, and understanding that's the basis of our country and the foundation of it. And Americans at some point are not going to be totally on board with becoming completely reliant on government, although it's happened to a pretty startling extent. This $1.7 trillion bill creates a whole bunch more money for these emergency programs. And there are people, there are 3 million less Americans working today than when the pandemic hit in 2022. And a lot of them have found ways to continue to get money from the government. And the fraud is just rampant. You've got people that have become expert on being able to apply for all these different government payouts and services under the ruse of getting assistance because of hardships created by the pandemic and now inflation and everything else. There's billions of dollars of pork in this that just gives those people the opportunity to continue to be able to derive funding from the government and not have to work. That's their job, is finding ways to apply for different handouts and different programs. And wow, it's not a sustainable situation at all. America needs to get back to work, and we need to get back on the beam of fiscal responsibility, because right now these people are just running us in the ground as far as our government officials. And we better get wise to it and get some new people in there and get these dinosaurs that are lifelong, occupants of the teat of government that just make millions and millions of dollars. It's the greatest gig in the world. No wonder they fight so hard to keep it. But it's something that every American better wake up and realize, wait a minute, we can't keep spending this kind of money that we don't have. It's just not going to work. What Margaret Thatcher said, famously, the great prime minister, the late Margaret Thatcher, the problem with socialism is you eventually run out of other people's money to spend. You can't put all the responsibility for funding everything on the backs of the Americans that are still working and producing. Everybody needs to have that their shoulder to that wheel for this system to work. And everybody better wake up and recognize that very quickly. I've ranted and raved long enough. I want to say to everyone that the new year is coming up, and let's be optimistic in 2023, but let's be aware of what's going on. Let's not just stick our head in the sand and hope everything will be okay. The more Americans that are active and vocal and speak up, despite all of the censorship and efforts to try and discourage you from doing that, remember Saul Alinsky in the Radical's Handbook said, the greatest weapon we have against dissent is ridicule. Don't let people intimidate you from expressing your ideas and giving your opinions. They are vitally important. All American voices need to be heard for us to move forward and be the great country that we have been and should be forevermore. This is the greatest hope for the world, is a strong and vital America. And we have seen it being depleted dramatically in the last couple of years. And it's time for all of us to stand up and do what's right for our children. And in my case now, a grandchild. I shudder to think what the world might look like in his lifetime if course is not reversed and sanity is not restored. That's about it for this week. Happy New Year, everybody. I hope you'll all have a safe and wonderful celebration. Excited about all the football coming up, and check out our show here on Tony Curry Radio. Want to bet? We're filming an episode today for this weekend's big games, the college football playoff matchups. And of course, Alabama will be in the Sugar Bowl, and both their star players, Bryce Young and Will Anderson, will be playing in that game They're not opting out, so how about that? Good for those kids. I hope they stay healthy. And Roll Tide, we will see you here next week on another edition of Everything You Need to Know.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.